Will you join me in a litany? You can find it in your bulletin or it'll be projected on the screen. Almighty God, we would be lying to you and deceiving ourselves if we pretend to be joyful and satisfied tonight. The violent pain that our friend Christ Jesus endured makes us want to hide and wait until it is over. It makes us wish to ignore his wounds altogether. As we worship you tonight and undertake the ancient work of remembering, we ask that you open our hearts to feel anew exactly why this is called Good Friday. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.
While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." We have come here tonight to remember what this night is truly about. It is remembering the night that Jesus suffered and died the next day and suffered in misery the night before as he dreaded what would come to him. And yet on that same night, on the night when he sat in dread of all that was going to happen and all that he had to face, he had a banquet meal. A Passover meal for all of his disciples. He celebrated it with joy. He sat with them thinking that he was soon to become the king of Israel, and him knowing that he was soon to become a man nailed to a cross. And yet, after eating that meal, he took bread and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." They had no idea what he was talking about. They didn't even know why he was talking about it. It was going to be a very long time before they would figure out that he was talking about his own sacrifice, that he was about to go to a cross and be nailed to it and have his body broken so that they would remember that when the world was as bad as it could get and when evil was as rampant as it could go, it was on that very night that Jesus said to them, "There is no distance that your evil can go, that my love will not go a little further." And then after they had had their meal and after they had eaten their bread, he took a cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." It was another opportunity for them to be able to look back and to realize that on the night before they ran away to hide, on the night before they abandoned Jesus to suffer, on the night before they made the biggest mistakes of their lives, Jesus offered the very best he had to offer them. And he told them that whatever you do, whatever mistakes you make, whatever sin you have in your life, and however far you are away from me, I will never be far from you. I will go as far as I can go to show you how much I will love you, and I will love you forever. That's why we've come here tonight. We've come here to think about this meal. We've come here to look at this very time. We've come here to think about the day that Jesus suffered and died and was nailed to that cross. And we've come here to truly remember that on that night, he had confidence in us. He believed in his disciples. He believed in what they were going to do and how they were going to do it, that they were going to step out into the world that was, and they were going to take a message of what could be, and they were going to live it out as fully as they could simply because God was on their side all along. He believed in them all along. He loved them all along. And no matter what, he was not going to stop. Tonight is a night when we get to remember that our Lord still believes in his children. And even when we are at our worst, he will always be at his best, simply because he believes the best can bring out the best in us. This is the night that the Lord has made for us. Let us rejoice and be glad in its gift. Now, we held a communion service on this very night at Cane Creek Church in Chapel Hill. There was a teenage boy there that night. His name was Walt. Walt was a very fine young man who was no more perfect than any other teenager. But he was a guy that had gotten to know me very well and had spent a lot of time with me. And on that particular night, when we started talking about the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, for reasons that I still do not fully know, it sunk into Walt's heart that night. He began to think very much about the price that Jesus Christ paid in order to show us the depth of his love. And that was what triggered faith in Walt. He realized that Jesus went as far as he could go to try to show us how far his love would reach, to try to reach our souls. Walt came to me when we finished that communion service that night, and he said, "I had never thought about that before." He said, "It had never occurred to me just how important this night was." He said, "I'd like to be baptized." And I said, "I would love for you to be baptized, Walt." And he said, "Can I be baptized this Easter Sunday?" That was in 2 days. And I said, "Yeah, we can work that out, Walt." And so on Easter Sunday of that year, Walt not only gave his life to Jesus Christ, but he celebrated it through the waters of baptism. Just a few years later, Walt was killed in a car accident, and it was a very short time before that that he had written a book of poetry that he dedicated to me. And in one of those books that he, in one of those poems that he wrote, he talked about how special that night was in his life and how much that table meant to him from that day forward. We did something at his funeral that I had never done before. We served communion at his funeral. And we celebrated that faith came to him in a very special way. And nothing could ever take it away from him. Not even death. Tonight we are here to remember the death of Jesus Christ. And we are here to remember that the tomb would not have the last word. On the night before he suffered and died, Jesus took bread. He broke it and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then Jesus took a cup and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, given to you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink." Holy God, I thank you for this meal. I thank you for its blessings. I thank you for what it reminds us of. And I thank you that we get to live as a remembrance of you to the world. Make it so, Lord Jesus, for it's in your name I pray. Amen.
Soldiers try to hear the narrow. not long ago, I would sit in my shop and build supper tables, toys, bird boxes, whatever they were buying, I'd build. I miss it. I miss the families, the trade craft. I like this mallet. Oh, what an instrument. It's simple, elegant, tactile, all the power that you would want, yet with all the finesse that you need for fine woodworking. Seems I've traded it in for this. Hammer's just looking to get the job done. It's clunky, it's clumsy, destructive. Tell that to the Romans, eh? The rate they've been sending me split and splintered beams back. Hardly enough time to repair before they nail some new man up on them. My wife, she thinks it's beneath me. When I told her I'd found this new work, she didn't say no, but I remember her eyes. They said it for her. They said, the Romans only pay in blood money. I managed my conscience for a while, and then Jerusalem was just turned upside down with the arrival of this teacher. My wife thinks he's the Messiah. I never told her, but I saw this teacher speak once out in front of the temple. And his words that stuck with me, haunted me. And then just a few hours ago, they killed him. They, convenient word when you don't want to consider whether you're involved in it. There's dozens of crossbeams go in and out of that Roman storehouse, yeah? The chances that it was one of mine are really slim, right? But I can't shake any of them. And who could after witnessing the aftermath of it? We all felt the ground shake. We all saw the darkness come, black as a raven, shadowing Jerusalem as if night had fallen. We all heard that the veil had ripped, and the graves opening up. Fingerprints are all over that cross. I can feel it. Why didn't I listen to my wife? Why didn't I listen to that teacher? I don't know if it's too late for me.
As they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming in from the countryside. The soldiers seized him and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd trailed behind. The heart, Christians, of our faith is the incarnation. We talk about it a lot. But I think a night like this reminds us that perhaps not enough, that our God became one of us. Our God, perfect and unlimited by physicality, submitted himself fully and became human, took on flesh. Just 4 months ago, we were in this room celebrating his birth. Jesus, weren't we? 4 months ago. And as a ministry team, we began talking very quickly about this night, didn't we? We said it'll be here before we know it. Here it is. You know, December is more fun, isn't it, than this night? There are people sitting in the audience tonight who have celebrated a new birth just recently of a baby, a grandbaby, a niece, a nephew. There's just nothing better. 4 months later, here we are tonight, remembering not as much the baby Jesus, the God-man Jesus, but the one who grew up, lived a full life, and died. It isn't just that he died that we remember tonight, but it's the way that he died that we must remember tonight. And so we look at the cross, and we know what we know about the cross. The cross represented a criminal's death. It was torturous and humiliating. It was the worst kind of execution. Why this for Jesus? It was such a public statement, a crucifixion. Crowds gathered. Some were just curious. Some had a macabre and a morbid interest in death and the gruesomeness of that kind of death. We can criticize them, but there are still gruesome parts of humanity today that are drawn, at least in curiosity, to something that we can bear imagine. Crowds gathered just to watch and to cheer and to jeer, to mock and to humiliate and to make sure that this charlatan, this blasphemer, was truly dead. And he was. They made sure that he was truly dead. And Luke tells us in chapter 23, verse 48, that when all the crowd that came to see him and the crucifixion saw what happened, that is, after the woodworker told us there was darkness. It was 12 o'clock noon, and the earth went black, dark as raven, for a couple of hours. The ground shook. When they saw what had happened, Luke says they went home in deep sorrow, these people who had been cheering and jeering. They went home in deep sorrow. And in verse 49, he makes sure to tell us that those people weren't among the disciples, because the disciples were there too. Jesus' friends, he says, were also there. So this separation of Jesus' friends and those who were not Jesus' friends, and I look back to Palm Sunday that we just celebrated, and I think that day Jesus was looking for a friend, right? He was looking for a friend, I think, who could see beyond the palms to Jesus himself and where he was headed. Tommy talked about that Thursday night with his disciples. He was looking for a friend. Would you stay up and sit with me? Stay awake with me? Pray with me? My soul is crushed unto death. A crowd gathered, and a crowd went home deeply sorrowful. Here it is, folks. Jesus, he's been you, he's been me, he's been human, he's been a struggler. He's been everything that you are and everything that I am. He submitted himself to every form of the human condition and yet remained perfect. The only perfect one who ever lived died with the stains of sin on his body from head to toe. Not his own sin, but my sin and your sin. Countless cross beams had left that shop I look at that cross tonight and I think countless sins were on that cross. What are the chances one of those sins could have been mine? How about the chances are all of them were mine? Sometimes it's the dark that compels us to believe. Heavenly Father, help us on this dark night to remember and to truly believe that you were in fact one of us. You understand completely who we are, every single temptation, every weakness, every flaw, and that you took our sins, every one of them, upon you. The one who was sinless, blameless, spotless, so that we might know forgiveness, so that we might know redemption, new life, abundant life, even eternal life. God, help us tonight to remember and to let be crucified anything in our lives that is keeping us from you and keeping us from our neighbor. Forgive the ugliness in me on this ugly night, and may we all look forward to a beautiful resurrection on Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us never forget the power of the cross. Hope you'll sing with us on this.
Draws me to your side, 'cause the power When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you were the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." It was now about the sixth hour. And darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Lord Jesus, you gave your life for us. You suffered and died that we might be made whole.
Why is Good Friday good? Good Friday is good because the price we couldn't pay got paid and the stain we couldn't clean got clean. Good Friday is good because the world was without hope, but the Lamb was without blemish. Good Friday is good because the worst thing that could ever happen was simultaneously the best thing that would ever happen. Good Friday is good because on that cross, on that day, the great shepherd of the sheep walked through the valley of the shadow of death for us. Good Friday is good because even though the cross isn't pretty, it's beautiful. Good Friday is good because we have a king who would rather die for his enemies than kill them. Good Friday is good because I am not good, but he is. Good Friday is good because Friday is not the end of the story.